And so now we come to read from those truths unchanged from the dawn of time. And tonight's reading is taken from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Thanks be to God for his holy word.
Thank you for thank you to you, Brian. Thanks for leading us this evening. It's lovely. It's been great just to be able to come and enjoy worshipping with you tonight. And thank you for those song choices. Actually leads really well into where you can probably sense I'm going with that lovely passage tonight. But just wanted to say hello. Thank you. It's lovely to come and gather. My name's Mark. I'm the minister at Creech Baptist Church. I've been there just over 4 years now. I can't believe that. It's gone so quick. You sort of, I'm now officially a reverend as well. That almost got an ooh, but it's, it's almost exciting, isn't it? But, blessed to be in a church where they've chosen to invest in me and help me to go off and do some further training. So I was thankful for that. So, it's good to be able to, you'll gauge if any of that was worth any effort. You can just smile to me afterwards. It's all good. But it's lovely to be with you and just to share a few thoughts with you, hopefully encourage you, and as it's encouraged me, this great passage. But before we dig into this title that I've called this evening, I've called it A Mind Pleasing to God. I wonder what it means for us to be a disciple of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? It kind of conjures up different things, isn't it? Disciple, that idea of following the rabbi, you know, that idea of the rabbi would have led, Jesus would have walked on ahead as the rabbi, and they would have picked up the dust. I've heard that phrase before. That's a lovely phrase, isn't it? You walk in the dust of the one that you're following. But a word I've heard people using a bit more recently is an apprentice. I really like that word, to be an apprentice to Jesus. That idea of Jesus being an apprentice to his earthly dad, there to Joseph, learning how to do practical skills, how to build and make and cut things. And we are now apprentices to Jesus, walking alongside, learning from him. It's a good way of that idea of sort of traveling and learning from him, doing the things that Jesus did. I like that. Jesus did that. Oh, I'll do that. I'm an apprentice to Jesus. I can get my head around that. It's good. So something that I wanted to share is this idea of being an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus, is about having our minds transformed, having a mind that is pleasing to God. And a simple way to think of that is being an apprentice to Jesus. And how we use, if this clicks on, is it going to work? Ooh. Yes. I like this image of using our head and the things, using our head and our minds as we follow Jesus, our heart and our hands. And taken from Luke 10 there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. I can't do the actions in the right order. And love your neighbor as yourself, using your hands to serve others. And as Christians, I think sometimes I can be someone who's got a really big mind. Oh, I really understand Jesus. I only really want to dig into the word of God and know lots about following God. But actually, if I've got really tiny hands and I'm not actually serving others, I can just end up with a massive head. Or I might have a really compassionate heart. I really might love those around me, but I don't know much about the Lord. And so my mind might be small and I have a big heart. So these things need to be balanced. And it all starts with how our minds are transformed, how the Lord starts to play a work in our minds and how he transforms us as we hear God's word. I'm just going to pray again, if that's all right, and just ask that these words that I've brought would actually be a gift and a bit of a blessing to you tonight. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have given us minds to understand your word, Lord. And I thank you that you've helped me to understand your word a little bit more this week. And I pray that the words of my mouth would be an honour to you and a blessing to you. And that, Lord, you would transform us tonight by the hearing of your word. But, Lord, would we not just be hearers of your word? I pray that we'd be doers of your word as well. You'd transform our minds, our hearts and our hands to be people that follow you as your apprentices, Jesus. Amen. So this passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I'm mostly going to focus on verses 1 and 2. Just going to read it to us again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's an amazing passage. It's one that when I first became a Christian, it was like, oh, this comes alive. My mind did fire when I read this. It's like, oh, this makes sense. It was one that I read over and over again. It still resonates with me today. And I hope it does with you as you read that. It sparks you and go, oh, come on. We're being urged by Paul here, aren't we? He's urging us. He's saying, come on, brothers and sisters, come on. In view of all that God's done for you, offer yourself to the Lord. Be an offering. Offer yourself. An apprentice says, comes and almost kneels before the master and says, I'm here. Teach me everything. Teach me all of it. And we are called to be an offering. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. That act of worship. He's saying all that Paul is saying to the church in Rome and to us here tonight, in view of God, all that God's done for us, offer yourselves to him. That's what being a disciple is, a living sacrifice. And offering our lives to God is about offering our head, I'm going to get it right this time, our heart and our hands, offering all of ourselves to him. He's urging us. He's saying, this is the way to live your life. Don't hold on to your life. He says, give it away. Give yourself away as an offering to the Lord. Give yourself to Jesus, the one who made himself a sacrifice for us. And even as I start this, I'm challenged. Am I willing to offer myself to God as a living sacrifice? Do I offer some of it? Do I give a bit to the Lord and hold quite a lot back? Often I feel like I do that. But I want to be more and more open. I want my mind to be open, to be changed and transformed, to consecrate myself, to give him all of my life. There's a battle, isn't there, that goes on in our minds. There's a battle in my mind that goes, oh, if I give everything to Jesus, what's he going to do? What's going to happen? What's going to go on in my life? There's a battle, and we are in a battle, aren't we? A spiritual battle. The more we open up to the Lord, the more we go, Lord Jesus, I offer myself to you. We get that, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't commit. Hold back. But Jesus says, come to me. Offer yourself to me. Give it all for me. Discipleship starts with saying yes to Jesus. We say yes when we first become a Christian, and then we keep saying yes, don't we? Keep saying yes to Jesus. That's what being an apprentice is. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Can you do that again? Yeah, keep doing that. Yeah, and keep going, and keep going. We keep saying yes to Jesus. A few people have described discipleship like this. Eugene Peterson says this: it's a long discipleship in the same direction. I like that. It's a long discipleship in the same, oh no, long obedience in the same direction. That makes more sense. John Barton says it's about giving oneself continuously and entirely. Continuously and entirely. F.B. Mayer says discipleship is about nothing so pleases God as daily surrender, the sacrifice and yielded will tied by the cords to his altar. So I just encourage yourself, encourage myself again. Am I willing to be an offering to the Lord tonight? Am I willing to give my life as a living sacrifice to him? And as we continue to think about our minds, the second thing that I noticed in this is that we're called as disciples. Oh, there he is. There's in that verse again. We're called. Oh, it will click. Go on. Wait for it. Yeah, there we go. It's me, I think. I'm trying to click left and right on it and it doesn't do it. We're called to be different. We're called to be different. I like that picture. We're called to be different. We're called to stand out. The passage says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. The NLT version says this: don't copy the behavior and patterns or the customs of this world. Our natural way of thinking, my humanness, is driven by me and my desires, often summarized by big things. I remember our first bit of teaching when I went to Bristol Baptist College, the first preach they give you is, be careful. Don't think you've arrived. You really haven't. It says, look around the room. 50% of you won't be here in 5 years' time. You'd have fallen away. You'd have messed up. You'd have been called out for something. And he basically gave us a talk on the main three things that you get caught out with are money, sex, and power. Money, sex, and power. Those are the things that we can conform to as Christians as well. We can get drawn in to our old way of life, living for ourselves. Be on your guard as we are different for Jesus. All of history reflects one of two things. Either we love ourselves or we love God. We either align ourselves to his will or I'm self-willed. I was driving my wife's car, bought it tonight, a little Honda Jazz, just nipping around in that. And she's not had it that long. And I got to the big Asda in Taunton. And it was one without anyone there to help you fill up, or no one there. So it's all just tapping and doing it all. So I was like, I didn't know which side to fill up on. So I just thought, well, it's only a little car. I'll just smash it in there, pull up, and I'll just reach the hose over if it was the wrong side. Yes, it was the wrong side. So you're reaching over, putting a bit of fuel in, started it off, got it going. Right, brilliant. Oh, that's not. Oh, it's quite tight. I'll just have a go. Got about £1.50 in. And it was like, oh, come on. Can get any more, and so I was like, oh, I'll just shuffle the car. I can't be bothered. So I just balanced the petrol nozzle. Don't do this. Petrol nozzle on top of the pump, and thought, just leave it there a minute because I don't want to pay for it. I can't pay one. So I just carried on, and then I was like, right, I'll just pull in a little bit tighter. That was good. And went again, and it's like, still couldn't get it in. I got about another pound in. I was like, oh, that's better. We're getting there. And then I suddenly looked down, and the hand. It was black, and it was my wife's lovely little unleaded. So I'd put £2.50 worth of diesel in, and I was like, yeah, not sure what to do. I'll pay for the diesel, fill it up with unleaded, and then I'll just sort of drive off, sort of braking a lot, just mixing it up. It will be fine. I should have Googled it, should have thought about it. I was used to driving my big old white van around that's diesel. I was on autopilot. I think this is what Paul's trying to say to us. When we go through life, don't just go through life on autopilot, just like I was doing, putting in my diesel, because just grab the pump, stick it in, it works, isn't it? We need to actually stop sometimes and think, Lord, am I conforming to the things around me? Am I doing what everyone else does? Am I copying you, Jesus? Or am I just copying what the world's doing? Am I spending my time doing the same things everyone else is doing? I don't want to go through life on autopilot, putting the wrong fuel into my tank. I want to be putting the good stuff into my tank. I want to be putting the good stuff into my life. I want to be putting Jesus into my life. We need to have our minds transformed and changed. I don't want to conform to the pattern of this world any longer. I want to live differently for Jesus. Paul's urging us, isn't he? He's saying, come on, people of Lohan, be different, look different, live differently for Jesus. Don't blend in. The message says, the message paraphrase says this, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. That was me. I wasn't thinking. For each of us tonight, I just encourage us, when you go into your week, how are you going to think differently this week? How am I going to think different when I make my choices? Am I going to go, Jesus, would you help me to live different for you? And then my third point from Paul's couple of verses is this. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, I was going to talk a little bit. There you go. There's the message one I am behind. That's a little reminder. What would Jesus do if he was me? Do you remember those? A bit of 90s classics. But helpful, isn't it? As you go into your week, think, what would Jesus do if he was me in this moment? What would he do in my life? Now's my next point. Yes, come on, it's coming. There we go. My third point is this. As we're called to live different, we're called to be transformed. Paul in Romans 1, verses 18 to 32, when he's setting out what human nature is like, he says that what the old order was of thinking, he said that humans had become futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. That's from Romans 1, verse 21. But now he is saying, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let God transform you into a new person by the changing the way you think. Transformation is a great word. I don't know any Greek. I know my dad knows lots of Greek. But this word transformation it speaks about here is metamorphosis. It's that changing of a caterpillar becoming a chrysalis and then coming into a butterfly. It's a complete change of our lives. When we give ourselves to Jesus, Jesus transforms our lives. It's a continuous process that we go through. It's the same word as the transfiguration of Jesus, that he looked completely different when the disciples were there gathering with him. He was transformed. We too are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's a profound change. It's a profound change because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not just like about me going, oh, I've got to work really hard. I've got to struggle really hard to become a butterfly. No, it's a gift of grace, isn't it? It's a gift of Jesus that goes, I have come and made a way for you. All we need to do is believe and accept the free gift that Jesus has given us in life in all its fullness. But we are being transformed by the renewing of your minds. But sometimes it doesn't feel like it, does it? If I'm honest, I look back and go, have I really changed? Is God still at work in my life? I believe he is. I believe when I look back, I can go, ah, thank you, God, that you have transformed the way I thought. I used to think a bit more like that. And, oh, slowly, you're shaping me and molding me more into who you're calling me to be. Maybe you don't notice it, but I'd encourage you, talk to those around you that know you and love you really well and go, have you seen any difference in me lately? Am I being transformed? Is the way I think and act and behave, my heart, my head, my hands, are they being shaped and changed by Jesus? I think also, if we're honest, the challenge of being a Christian for a while is that we can maybe stop being transformed. I look at Blessed at the moment in our church. Been running an Alpha course, and Alpha's a great tool. It's a way for people to come to find out more about Jesus, and a few folks have become Christians, and it's amazing. I look at them and I go, wow, look at the change in them. Before, they were coming in all cynical and not quite sure and didn't know how to read the Bible and seemed heavy and dark and were struggling. Now I can't keep them away from church. They just keep coming. They even turn up Bibles in hands and highlighters and ready to go. You know, it's like, oh, man, that's a bit keen. They're really hot. Literally, they're up for it. It's fantastic. And I look at them and I go, oh, Lord, am I being transformed and changed like that? And possibly not. And I think some of that is because God's so kind to us, isn't he? When we first become Christians, when we say yes to Jesus, he really changes and transforms us. And then we kind of settle into our rhythms and our patterns, which is right for us that we have that. But I also think we can get a little bit stuck. And so my prayer tonight for myself and for you is that we don't get stuck. This lovely, I'm pointing that way, I should be pointing this way, this lovely caterpillar that becomes a chrysalis and then becomes a beautiful butterfly is designed to fly off. And I think at times in my life, I fly for Jesus. I go, Holy Spirit, come and help me. Come and fill me. Come and transform the way I live and think and act. And then sometimes I just perch and I land back on that branch and I sit there and I'm like, yeah, I'm a butterfly, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. And I think the Lord longs for us to keep flying for him, to go, Lord, would you come and raise us up just like you raise those eagles up on wings? Lord, would you raise us up as your people to be transformed? And the other bit that's interesting about this is some of the grammar in this. I don't get excited about grammar. I used to teach primary school kids and I could never teach them grammar. But there's some interesting grammar here. This word, be transformed, it's in the present tense. Be transformed. It's happening now. It's not waiting for another day. You were transformed. It's no. Today, you and me are being transformed and changed by the work of the Holy Spirit that's alive in each of us. Every day we are transformed. The Spirit continues to shape us and change us. It's continuous. It's not a matter of impulse on and off again. It's no, we are being transformed. Even if it doesn't feel like it, I pray that you would know more and more, and I would know more and more, that we are being transformed. And another bit of grammar. Told you it was exciting, didn't I? It's in the passive voice. So Paul isn't saying, you must transform yourself. He says, no, let yourselves be transformed. Sometimes the most powerful moments in my life where I felt God use me and I've been able to fly is when I go, Lord, I've got nothing. I'm empty. I'm broken. It's little old me. What can I do? And the Lord goes, that's perfect. Come on, let's fly. Let's go. I will use you. I will take you because it's the Holy Spirit that changes me and uses me. And it's the same for you. When we surrender to the Lord, he goes, come on, let's go. Let's run together. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that does that. Have I got another verse there? Possibly. Let's see. No, I haven't. Let's see what comes. Just have a little think. Is it coming? Ah, there it is. And we all, that's you, me, all of us who love and follow Jesus, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Can you see it there again? We are being transformed into his image, and it comes from the Lord. It's not my hard work that makes a difference. It's the Holy Spirit's work in me that changes and transforms me. I just need to be open to all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. So that's my third point. Be transformed. Be a butterfly that flies. Don't be a butterfly that sits. Be a flying butterfly. Because I love looking at the butterflies at the moment. They're amazing. So we need to be like that. When you see a butterfly this week, go, Lord, help me to fly. Fill me with your Spirit this week, I pray. And then one more point. There it is. Be renewed. There it is at the end. Just going to take a sip of water here. Got a very posh pulpit. It's very nice. Got a proper little cup holder. It's nice. Be renewed. Renew your minds. You can avoid worldly actions and look externally changed and yet worldly thinking. So I can say, oh, I'm a Christian, I live and look differently, but I can still be proud, I can still be jealous, I can still be selfish and stubborn, I can be a gossip, I can be arrogant and lustful and deceitful and rude, I can keep going if you want, I can still be those things unless I am renewed in my mind. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to renew our minds, to re-educate and redirect our minds so that we are transformed. as well as the work of the Holy Spirit that renews our minds and helps us to test and know God's good, pleasing and perfect will. It's also the work of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that cuts through the old ways of thinking in my life, breaks off the old ways and habits. Our minds become renewed by the powerful and life-changing combination of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We need both, don't we? You've probably heard this one, haven't you? All word, let me get it right, all words and no spirit and we can dry up. All spirit and no word and we can blow up. We're called to be people that know and love God's word with our minds. But it's also in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just, oh, I know God. No, we need to know him in our hearts. We need the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and transform our minds and renew us. Not only do we need to know the love of God, we also need to grow in the knowledge of God. And for each of us, it's about investing in our time, reading God's word, meditating on his word, going deeper and understanding the knowledge of God's love for us as we read it. Sometimes I can read the Bible and think, oh, that's really helpful for someone else. Oh, that's a great verse for him. Oh, they need that. Lord, forgive me. I need to read it and cherish that relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father as I read God's word. Go, Lord, would you renew my mind? Would you show me just how much you love me when I read your word? How much you keep coming again and again and again to your people, showing them your love. Even though people reject you, Lord, you come again and again and again. And ultimately, you gave us Jesus, the greatest gift of all. So keep investing in God's word. Keep allowing it to renew your mind. We know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus has come to each and every one of us so that we can know God the Father and know how loved we are. Jesus is our teacher. He is the one. He comes alongside us. He is alive today. He comes and teaches and renews our minds. Psalm 1 says these words, "Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, the one who meditates," there it is again, "on his law day and night. The person is like a well-planted tree by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Dig deep into God's word. Dig into those wells of scripture. Dig into his word and allow it to renew your mind. But the last thing, just to share about the renewing of our minds, is also to recognize that our minds are a bit of a battlefield as well. I think I sort of hinted at that earlier on. Never before in my life, I think, has my head been so full. Even when I was teaching full time, I think that was crazy in the moment. And then you'd go, oh, you'd take a breath. Whereas I think now, it's lovely contraption in my pocket, keeps my mind totally full. I could answer all my church emails now if I wanted. I could make so many phone calls. I'm trying to prepare some thoughts and I've got things pinging in my phones. I've got messages coming in. My mind is full and probably yours is similar. Maybe it's not your phone. Maybe it's other things that bombard you. But our minds are full and they can be distracted. That's why I think the Lord often says to us, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. It's important to recognize that our minds need protecting from the enemy, the one who wants to come and steal our joy and that joy of knowing God. That knowledge, he wants to steal that knowledge that we are saved, that we're forgiven, that we're free, that we're set apart, that we're redeemed, that we're new creations, that we're children of God. The enemy wants to come and rob us of that joy. And so we're reminded, aren't we, in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the armour of God. And what's the bit of armour that we need to protect our minds? Take the helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation, making sure that you know that you are solid and secure and that you are saved because of Jesus. And also to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There it is again. Spirit and the Word. The salvation, the knowledge of knowing that we are saved will protect us, will look after us. And the words of God will help us to fight those lies that come and say, ah, you're not good enough, Mark. Ah, oh, Mark, you've messed up again. Ah, oh, you're terrible at this, da-da-da. The lies that come instead of going, it's okay, I'm going to be still. Know that God loves me. Know that I'm a child of God. Know that I'm safe in his hands. Thank you, Lord, for your words that renew our minds when the enemy comes. And I pray for each of us that we would know that, that the Holy Spirit protects our minds, our thought patterns, and that we can use the word of God to cut through things that aren't good for us. We can ask Jesus, our living teacher, to guide us through our activities today, tomorrow, the following days. We can orientate our mind towards his will, knowing that we were always there. He's always there, directing us and guiding us. Some lovely words, isn't it, here from Paul, urging us on, saying, come on, people, keep being transformed and renewed. And so just to quickly, if it would do it, a little bit of a summary. We're called to be an offering tonight. We're called to offer ourselves to Jesus, the one who's given it all for us. We're called to be different. Don't conform this week. I know I will at times. I'll slip back into my old ways of doing things, but just go, Lord, forgive me. I want to live for you, Jesus. Help me to be different this week, that I might shine bright for you and that people would see the good stuff in me and praise my Father in heaven. And I pray also that we would be transformed. We would be people that are transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would be people that fly this week for Jesus, that we wouldn't just settle down again. But Lord, keep changing me, keep molding me, keep transforming you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you renew me, renew my mind, protect my thoughts this week. Holy Spirit, come into our lives and help us, renew us, I pray, so that we keep being an offering for you, Jesus. So that's what I just want to leave us with tonight, just those few words, those few thoughts. And the Message version says this again, this paraphrase of those opening verses says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Consecrate yourself again to the Lord. Be set apart for him. Offer yourselves to him. Offer particularly your mind to him this night and say, Lord, would you come? Would you come and transform my mind? Would you renew my mind? Would you protect my mind as I go into this week? Let me just pray before we sing our final song together. Lord Jesus, we say thank you tonight. Thank you that you've come into our lives and you've changed us and transformed us. You've set us free from being trapped in that chrysalis, and we now can fly with you, Jesus. And I pray that that image would hold on to us this week, that we would take it into this week, Lord, and recognizing that we are new creations, that we've been transformed by the work of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for each person here tonight that they would know that transformation in their own lives. And if they don't know it, Lord, would they just ask you to come into their lives afresh tonight and change them and transform them? Lord, renew minds here tonight, I pray. Where we've got maybe stuck and gone, I don't know what else to do. Lord, would you speak freshly and in new ways, I pray, to us through your word this week? Would you maybe encourage us? By the way, other people speak to us and give us those words of encouragement that we need. Lord, speak, I pray, to each and every one of us this week. And protect us as well, I pray. Protect our minds, Lord, where we're easily distracted and pulled back into our old ways. Lord, would you come with that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, and just come and protect us, I pray. Lord, we are yours. We offer ourselves to you again tonight. Take our lives, I pray, Lord. Take every part of our lives. We offer it to you, the one who has gladly given it all for us and taken it to the cross. We say thank you, Jesus, for you being a living sacrifice for us. And so we, in return, offer ourselves again to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a lovely closing hymn now. Take my life and let it be. It's number 624. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And I think there's one verse that speaks about our mind. There it is, verse